an appeal for the protection of our environment, a call for a more just distribution of the world's natural resources, and a cry for countries to stop spending money on weapons of war and destruction. All these are contained in Pope Benedict's message for the 2008 World Day of Peace, entitled The Human Family, a Community of Peace. The Church celebrates the World Day of Peace on January the 1st each year, a tradition begun by Pope Paul VI 4 decades ago, after he had penned his landmark encyclical on peace and development, Populorum Progressio. But to introduce Pope Benedict's message, let's listen to the opening lines of The Human Family, a Community of Peace.
At the beginning of a new year, I wish to send my fervent good wishes for peace, together with a heartfelt message of hope, to men and women throughout the world. I do so by offering for our common reflection the theme which I have placed at the beginning of this message. It's one which I consider particularly important. The human family, a community of peace. The first form of communion between persons is that born of the love of a man and a woman who decide to enter a stable union in order to build together a new family. But the peoples of the earth, too, are called to build relationships of solidarity and cooperation among themselves, as befits members of the one human family.
This image of our world as a family of nations and communities is one which has been frequently used to underline the need for solidarity between rich and poor, between haves and have-nots, between those in power and those whose voices are seldom heard on the international stage. In choosing to focus on the family as the first vital cell of society, where children can learn the language of peace and interdependence, Pope Benedict is drawing on the rich heritage of the Church's social teaching.
I can't count the number of times that Pope John Paul talked about the family of nations and equated people coming together around the table to discuss helping one another, all of these things, as a family.
Monsignor James Reinhardt is an official at the Vatican's Justice and Peace Council, which advises the Pope in the drawing up of these annual messages. He says the theme of the family is one which underpins much of the work of the Council.
We find that in the compendium of the social doctrine of the Church that we have published here in this Council. There's the talk of the family being the seedbed, and this is where children learn love. This is where we learn cooperation. This is where we learn to live together, and we go beyond self in the family and know how to learn how to get along, to interact. And so the family is essential in society as that gift and that place of giving for the children and for humanity.
The Pope uses this idea of the family to determine the way that we should behave regarding several key issues. He talks particularly about the environment and about economic justice as well. Let's look at these two areas first.
His Holiness talks about the importance of having a place to live, a habitat for the family. And that's his, in a way, an introduction to the protection of the environment, that if we don't protect the earth, if we don't protect our natural environment, if we don't look after creation as God has given it to us, then there isn't a place for the family to exist. And so we are very happy to see that mention of the protection of the environment and the importance of creation in the lives of the individual, the community, and the human family.
The environment is important because the family lives in an environment.
Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino is president of the Vatican's Justice and Peace Council. He presented this Peace Day message to the press, stressing that environmental protection and nuclear disarmament are essential for the peace and security of individuals, families, and nations.
If the environment is contaminated, if it is polluted, this fact is not favorable to the development of the family both the nucleus, one, and the human family. Also, we have a responsibility. We can use the creation, as we Christians say about environment, we can use the creation, but not destroy it, because we have a responsibility for future generations. So we have to use it, improve it if it's possible, and transmit it to the future generations. And this is a duty, an obligation. And perhaps in the past the focus was not so direct on this problem, but I would like to remind that the chapter 10 of the compendium of the social doctrine of the Church is dedicated exactly to the environment.
The message also shows Pope Benedict's growing concern with the arms race, particularly the nuclear arms race, and he has a very strong appeal, doesn't he, to those in power to stop this as soon as possible.
This concern was initiated because we assist today to a renewed race to nuclear armaments. There are experiments done here and there, and also experiments of new weapons, and so this has to be stopped, because nuclear weapons must never be used. And so since already many years ago, all the international community convinced herself that these weapons should not be brought into the 21st century, because nuclear weapons means complete destruction, not only of those who we want to destroy, but also of those who use it. But also, there is also a concern for the spreading of conventional weapons. And also these weapons are incompatible with the peace that we seek.
Mentioned the process of economic globalization, to respond to economic globalization, to environmental destruction, to nuclear threats, to the need for conventional disarmament, and on, that so many of the problems that we're facing now are international, they're global problems, and that we need to create and support responsible, well-developed international institutions that help the global community create a reality of peace.
Marie Dennis is co-president of the global Catholic peace network Pax Christi and director of the Maryknoll Office for Global Concerns. She told me that as a mother and grandmother herself, she's delighted to see such a powerful call for justice and peace contained in such a document about family dynamics.
I think it's a beautiful document. I agree that the images of the family as a community of peace and a place where we learn to speak the language of peace, it's a very beautiful beginning. And it also leads to a really strong and powerful message.
He also acknowledges, though, doesn't he, that families aren't always communities of peace. In fact, he talks about violence in the family as being particularly intolerable.
He does, and I think that is a very important acknowledgement, because obviously in too many families around the world, the lessons about peace, ways to speak language of peace, are never learned, and we need to pay close attention to that. But I think it's also really beautiful the way he moves immediately to images of the family as a community of peace that needs to be reflected in the broader communities that we're part of, in the nation and in the world as a whole, that peace is not an individualistic virtue. It's the basis of solidarity and our pursuit of the common good.
He has very strong words, too, for anyone who undermines this institution of the traditional family. Basically, they're undermining peace in the entire community, he says, national and international. This is a pretty direct criticism, isn't it, of many governments currently introducing legislation to recognize, for example, the rights of civil unions or gay couples?
Yes, I suppose it is. Although it seems to me that the stronger message of the document really transcends the particular shape of families in different parts of the world and goes to the heart of what happens in a family. That within families, that the fundamental language of peace is taught and learned, and so the destruction, the existence of families where that is impossible is, it seems to me, what he's really trying to get at.
There's an interesting call, isn't there, for a just recognition of the activities of parents as peacemakers.
He does. It's very interesting because he includes within the kind of list of basic needs, including housing, employment, the possibility of education and basic health care, he includes that just recognition of the domestic activity of parents. And I think it's a very interesting expression. I think it's really important also because it lifts up what is the reality of many, many women around the world who in so many instances carry a tremendous responsibility within homes and within families and do it often without recognition and almost always without any kind of recompense. And so I think that his identifying this recognition of the domestic activity of parents, both parents, is very interesting and an important step.
Pope Benedict's also drawing, isn't he, on ideas that were already put forward by his predecessors, not just John Paul II, but also previous popes, this comparison of the individual, the nuclear family, if you like, to the human family as a whole.
Yes, he certainly does. And he, I think, pulls in images both, we've been just this year celebrating the 40th anniversary of Populorum Progressio, and I think he touches on some of the images from Pope Paul VI in terms of what are the basic elements of true human development that can lead toward peace. And he certainly also refers to solidarity, which was such an important theme of the recent Pope.
Pope Benedict's message marks the 40th anniversary of these World Peace Day letters, yet Monsignor James Reinhardt of the Vatican's Justice and Peace Council notes that these themes of solidarity and economic justice can be found over a century ago in the writings of Pope Leo XIII.
Well, that's one of the things that the Church has been speaking about for more than 100 years since Pope Leo XIII in Rerum Novarum. And we're celebrating at this year the 40th anniversary of Populorum Progressio, where Pope Paul VI laid that out very clearly in the need for the progress of people from poverty to a life that is free of that need and that want and that worry that poverty brings. And so with His Holiness Pope Benedict speaking of this equal distribution of wealth, he's speaking of an equity among people so that the lives of those that are living in poverty can be enhanced, just as you would want the lives of members of an individual family to have what they need.
And yet these words, this voice, doesn't seem to be getting through. We look at the Millennium Development Goals, which it seems that we're unlikely to be able to achieve in the time frame that has been set. Why do you think this voice, this call for a greater equality, greater justice, economic justice, is not being heard?
That's a good question, and it's a question that we ask every day here in this office, and what can be done to make that voice heard. I have no idea what the Holy Father will say when he goes to New York and speaks at the United Nations, but I hope that whatever he says will be heard. I hope that people will use that opportunity as a possibility, as a time to refocus on what needs to be done.
Environmental protection, fair trade, and an end to the arms race are all issues at the top of the agenda for Pax Christi, working in countries around the world to end conflicts and to promote human development. Co-President Marie Dennis says this Peace Day message is a strong endorsement of that work and a source of inspiration to all those working for justice and peace.
It certainly is. His focus on the arms race is very strong. He talks very critically about the growing number of states that are engaged in the arms race, both the tremendous profit that is part of the arms race for some, the involvement of powerful people within poor countries in benefiting from the arms race, the involvement of the so-called developed countries who are so actively, aggressively selling weapons, and he makes a very strong point, particularly about nuclear weapons. He talks about the deep concern that the process of nuclear nonproliferation is at a standstill, and that the world has to make progress toward the dismantling of existing nuclear weapons and to a re-engagement in non-proliferation efforts. It is also very interesting that this is very strong, and I think it underscores what is the reality, which we know very well, that not only are the traditional nuclear states not moving in a sufficiently strong direction toward nuclear disarmament, but the very real danger of nuclear proliferation is upon us. So I was very happy to see that in the Pope's message, and I think it's a very important dimension of peace, obviously, but it's one that we, I think, 15 years ago thought was sort of under control, and it's just clearly not. We need to refocus our energy toward the total elimination of nuclear weapons. And I think the Holy Father really underscored that.
He's likely to return to this theme perhaps when he visits the United Nations in just a few months' time. I mean, how much impact do you think his words can have on the leaders of nations?
Well, I think that they can have an impact. I think that obviously the Holy Father carries a great deal of moral authority. I think that the clearer his message, especially when he delivers it personally, I think it can have a tremendous impact. I also think that a theme that he, I suspect, will bring with him to the United Nations, as well as the need for nuclear disarmament, is what the very strong theme in this letter of international, of global cooperation, that we may, he said, have to create even some global institutions that don't exist. He was referring particularly to the protection of the environment, and the theme in it, in the letter, felt to me to be very strongly supportive of responsible, ethically based international institutions and agreements that have the capacity to respond. He mentioned the process of economic globalization, to respond to economic globalization, to environmental destruction, to nuclear threats, to the need for other, conventional disarmament, and on, that so many of the problems that we're facing now are international. They're global problems, and that we need to create and support responsible, well-developed international institutions that help the global community create a reality of peace around the world.
What kind of institutions do you think he has in mind here? I mean, are we talking a kind of faith-based World Bank, or what sort of institutions are you thinking of?
He wasn't terribly specific, although it does seem to me that, to begin with, he referred several times to the UN Declaration on Human Rights and to the Declaration on the Rights of the Family, the Charter on the Rights of the Family. And I believe that he was referring to the growing body of international law, international human rights law, international standards for economic and environmental and social interaction that are sometimes written into treaties or conventions sponsored by the United Nations and other multilateral bodies. At other times are either written into or implemented by international institutions. So I thought that he was perhaps suggesting that in the area of the environment that we may have to build or, he says specifically, further international agencies may need to be established in order to confront together the stewardship of this home of ours, the Earth. I think that we don't know yet exactly what shape of an agreement will need to be made to ensure that future generations have an Earth on which to live. But I think that he certainly was or may well have had in mind the current negotiations around the climate change treaty and recognizing that we are still struggling to even reach an agreement about how we will protect the Earth and the environment from climate change and global warming. So I think that what he was saying, or as I listened to his message, what I think he was saying was that we need to focus on the global common good, that as individuals, especially as nation states, that we no longer can talk about, for example, security in terms of only national security. We can no longer talk about even the common good in terms of the national common good, but we need to talk about security, global human security. We need to talk about global security for the Earth herself. We need to talk about the global common good.
He also develops the question of stewardship, not only of the environment, but also of the Earth's energy resources in particular. And this, of course, is going to become a very crucial issue increasingly as the energy sources, as we've used them in the past, continue to be depleted.
That's going to be a real factor, not just for the Church, but for mankind itself. And I think that we're seeing a very positive movement toward now. Maybe it's going to be very slow, but I think that people are becoming more aware of our use of carbon fuels and petroleum and these kind of things, not only just for the protection of the environment that they have to be cut back, but they're going to run out. We're seeing a depletion. And so other ways of energy, other means need to be found and need to be utilized. And the Holy Father has spoken about that before, that, again, the developing countries can't be penalized for their want to move for development by cutting back and shutting off the use of fossil fuels, that other means have to be found and used.
Pope Benedict shows particular concern again this year about the threat of the arms race, in particular the continuing build-up of nuclear weapons. And he has a very strong appeal, doesn't he, for those in power to stop, to halt this arms race immediately.
Not only the proliferation of nuclear weapons and the threat of using them, but also in the trade of small arms he speaks of, that the amount of economic resources that, first of all, that is being used and squandered by the countries that are buying these weapons. So he's making an appeal to both the manufacturers, those participating in the trade, and those who are receiving them. That, you know, if we could do away with this, that to as a peace building method as an instrument of peace within the world, to disarm those people, all to disarm in general, so that the threat of war and the threat of conflict can be taken out of this idea of development and peace and enhancing people's lives. If you can live in security and peace, what a great gift that is, especially for the family.
Half of the U.S. federal budget goes to military expenditures. We are in the process of moving toward a new engagement with nuclear weapons. This World Day of Peace message calls us to stop moving in that direction, to rethink our priorities. It's actually a very interesting document in the U.S. context, because we are right in the middle of an election year for both presidential and congressional elections. And many of the issues that are being debated are reflected in this World Day of Peace message. I actually, as I was reading the message, I was thinking how if these words had come from someone else, they would be considered very political, because they come so close to the heart of what is the political debate in this country, and I think that's true in many other corners of the world as well.
In concluding his World Peace Day message for 2008, Pope Benedict recalls the way in which political leaders came together at the end of World War II to draw up the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, pledging peace and security for all members of the human family.
60 years ago, the United Nations organization solemnly issued the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. With that document, the human family reacted against the horrors of the Second World War by acknowledging its own unity, based on the equal dignity of all men and women, and by putting respect for the fundamental rights of individuals and peoples at the center of human coexistence. This was a decisive step forward along the difficult and demanding path towards harmony and peace. In the light of these significant anniversaries, I invite every man and woman to have a more lively sense of belonging to the one human family, and to strive to make human coexistence increasingly reflect this conviction, which is essential for the establishment of true and lasting peace.